6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Murthy. What day is this? Today's the 20th. My word. Month is two-thirds done with. Can you imagine? Things going by so fast. Yeah. I'm just... You know, the problem is it goes by so quickly that before you know it, it's going to be fall. People said, that can't be true. We're not even in the spring yet. Well, actually, today is going to be the first day of spring. Happy springtime. Is there a song that celebrates spring? What is that one? Sunrise or from Peer Gynt? Is that what that is? No. No, I know that one. That ain't it. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure we don't have it. Yeah, I have to call my girlfriend. She'd have to play it on the phone. I know about the phone thing because a couple of her students, they play that. So I've heard this many, many times. Anyway. Well, it's late in the week. And we got a whole lineup. This is Potpourri night tonight, so we're going to have a big lineup. William Federer is coming up back again. Bill Federer. Always great fun to have Bill on the show. He's always one of our regulars, and he's good fun to talk to. What every American needs to know about the Quran. You're going to say, what? Who cares about that stuff? Well, know thy enemy if thou art any sensible person at all. You know, it's good to know. Who's who, what's what? And said, well, I don't care about that stuff. That's a surefire way to get yourself in trouble. So anyway, that'll be with William J. Federer back again. So he'll be coming up, going to bring us into speed, find out. So what's in there really? Now, for people that already know, good. You can help weigh in on all this jazz. We'd like to find out. But a lot of people have no idea what's in there. And they keep saying, well, I don't care anyway. I don't care about that stuff. Well, maybe you should. 3 o'clock, Rosemary Chiepo. Born, or is it Chiepo? Chiepo or Chiepo? Chiepo. Born Chiepo. Yeah, Rosemary Chiepo. Born to organize clutter, chaos, and the cure. I think people who are messy are just messy, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Not a thing you can do. I mean, unless you get brain surgery, they're not going to change. Listen, I know this. I have known organized people who can't stand clutter, and I've known people who are brilliant but absolute slobs. And I like them. Don't misunderstand. I can't think in a mess. I mean, it's like suddenly somebody short circuits your brain. You know, you can see, you know, sparks going up and down the motherboard there. That's what happens to me. When I walk into a messy place, you know, it's not alive. Well, that's what happens to me. I just can't. My brain doesn't work like that. I just go, what a ooh. Anyway, but Rosemary Chiepo, born to organize. I know such people. I've tried to get them organized, and after a while you say, oh, to hell with it. You just give up. There's no chance. There's no way you're going to be able to change people. And I suppose you shouldn't try. Why bother? You know, just walk away from the mess and say, oh, that's your mess. You enjoy. Coming up at next hour, Fred Gardner, California Cannabis Research Medical Group. Yeah, I feel better now. The marijuana medical papers. That's right. They roll these really big joints. 1839 to 1972. 1839. Well, cannabis way back in 1839 is a medical thing. What? Well, everybody. Yeah. Who's it? Queen Elizabeth I used to use it for cramps, menstrual cramps. Yeah. And George Washington used it because he used to have pain in his gums from those lousy teeth he had. Yeah, yeah. People said, that's not true. Yeah, it is. So what? You know, Winston Churchill used to, the guy was addicted to gin. He also used, what else did he have? He used to do something else he was big on, an illegal drug. And, of course, cigars. No, that's legal. Laudanum or something, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, Fred Gardner, called Marijuana Medical Papers, 1839 to 1972. And coming up momentarily, Cody Lundeen. Boy, that's a great name, man. I mean, it's a, Cody Lundeen. Aboriginal Living Skills School. He runs that. And he's written a book. This is his latest one. And he's written some, I love the titles of his books, you know, like Keeping Your Ass Alive is another one. When All Hell Breaks Loose. So how do you survive when all hell breaks loose? And why am I doing this now? Should I be afraid? Should I be afraid? No, just be aware. And he'll tell you that, too. But anyway, Cody Lundeen, the author of best-selling 98.6 Degrees and The Art of Keeping Your Ass Alive. I love those totals. I love names like that. Because it's kind of, what? Catch your attention right away. So that's the kind of thing I like. Anyway, first off. All right, happy birthday, all you Pisceans, although soon you're going to be Arians. Airy Pisces. Those are the you know, on the cuspal folk, but anyway, but it's still Pisces. Born on this date in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 1957. Became a filmmaker, and he started in college. And sometimes his controversial films include Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever, Malcolm X. Do you know who it is, huh? You know, yeah, Spike Lee. Spike Lee was born on this date in 1957. Holly Hunter, the actress, born on this date in 1958. Henrik Ibsen. Henrik Ibsen, the Norwegian dramatist, born on this date in 1828. Sir Michael Redgrave, the British stage motion picture actor. Sir Michael was born on this date in 1908. Father Lynn, isn't it? And Vanessa? Lynn Redgrave. Sir Michael Redgrave, born on this date in 1908. And Bobby Orr, the great Canadian ice hockey player, born on this date in 1948. In 1602, the Dutch East India Company chartered to establish bases and fortifications against Spain and Portugal in return for a monopoly of trade in the Indian and in the Pacific Oceans. The Dutch East India Company. Had a run-in with the Dutch East India Company, did we? Captain Sparrow. Remember Jack Sparrow? Had a run-in with the Dutch East India Company, if you remember that one. And it was on this date in 1969 that John Lennon and Yoko Ono married on the Rock of Gibraltar. You don't want to get me started. Steve knows how I feel about Yoko. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I just... Cool, locked and loaded with the Beatles. Alrighty then. Yeah, good. Happy music. I'll tell you about this later. I don't want to bring you down. 303-713-8585, the number. And we're going to talk about survival in times that are testy, changey, and scary, to be sure. But there are those who say all hell could break loose. And my guest, Cody Lundeen's written a book about it, When All Hell Does Break Loose, Stuff You Need to Survive When Disaster Strikes. And by the way, he actually runs a school for this kind of thing. In fact, the Aboriginal Living Skills School. He lives down in Arizona. And by the way, you look like a lyric from the song Arizona. But Cody Lundeen, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you doing?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm not sure. When you teach this stuff, but this is, you know, I don't know. Were you ever a Boy Scout?
No.
Yeah.
Never was.
Yeah, my dad was a scout leader, and I ended up becoming a Boy Scout very early on. And they used to have the Boy Scout field guide. I don't even know if they published it anymore. And I'm looking through the stuff you've got here, and this reminds me so much of the stuff that was in there when I was a kid growing up. I used to love to read this stuff, and we used to try this out. We'd go out, and of course, my dad was a big outdoorsy kind of guy, and so we'd go out and we'd, you know, make stuff like this. I mean, I even learned how to cook in a Dutch oven. But this is the stuff I remember when I was a kid growing up. Does anybody do this anymore?
That's a good question. And I don't know. I know the scouts keep pumping out manuals, but I'm not sure. According to the American Red Cross, less than 7% of Americans are prepared for a pending disaster. So I'd say not a hell of a lot of people are doing this anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows how to go out and live off the land. You know, I keep thinking that my image is sort of like this kind of a disaster movie, you know, the apocalyptic movies where the only ones who survive are leeches with guns. But, you know, I don't know if anybody could possibly live off the land anymore.
Yeah, yeah, the land has changed a lot, and that's a good point. I write about that in my book. It's like, you know, now we have the fences, the pollution, 3 billion more people, you know, laws, which of course would be obsolete in a real crisis. But still, there's not the fat of the land that there used to be to live off of. And I get a lot of people that come to me that are all hot and heavy to live like the Indians, for lack of a better term. And the landscape's changed, man, you know, so you better learn to adapt or die on that one.
Yeah, unless you're going either up to the North Country, up in the Yukon and such places where the land is pretty much like it was.
Yeah.
Or if you're going down into the jungles of southern Mexico and Central America, which, you know, still even today, you know, is still jungle country.
Right.
Unless you're, the rest of it's desert, you know, or the flatlands of the plains, which, by the way, is nothing but crisscrossed by highways and small towns. It's not like we've got buffalo roaming. You know, it's not the same at all.
Yeah, things have changed.
Yeah, pretty much. We live in. You say one of the biggest problems with today is that if disaster strikes, we are an urban people. I guess what is it? Something by the year 2010, was it 4/5 of the world's population is going to live in or around a city?
Yeah, the stats I've read are about, you know, 80 to 85%.
Yeah,
you know, are urbanians. So we have in the last few generations, because my grandparents literally homesteaded in South Dakota, you know, and it's not like I'm ancient. You know, I'm a fairly young guy. And they literally, I have pictures of my family of sod homes that they were living in. So all of a sudden we've gone from the sod house with the covered wagon, which my grandmother used to ride in when she was a little girl, to this space-age, weirdo, futuristic stuff where no one knows how to take a dump anymore if the toilet doesn't work. So we've dumbed down in two or three generations because of the conveniences, because of the comforts, and I love comforts and conveniences as much as anyone else, but if you don't know how to take a dump, you know, when your toilet goes bad, or, you know, if the spigot doesn't work on the wall and no water comes out and you don't know what to do, that's slavery without the bonds. You know, you got to know these basic things that all of our ancestors knew or they died.
Yeah, you talk about this, but you start off by saying being mentally prepared, you know. First thing is that your brain has got to be up to speed first before you can start dealing with reality.
Right.
What is your scenario? I mean, I'm curious because everybody's got a scenario. I mean, Roland Emmerich, who, by the way, I don't know if you ever see his movies. I love his flicks, by the way. He just did 10,000 BC. But Roland Emmerich, he does these epical films of changes that happen on a grand scale. You know, where whole civilizations are involved one way or the other, either going up or going down. What is your scenario of what could happen?
Oh, damn it, Rick. You know, do we have to talk about that?
Well, I mean, it's perfect time for it, ain't it?
Perfect time. Well, obviously, there's change coming down the pike. I mean, you could just be Joe Schmo sitting on the couch and hit Google News once a week and realize that we're not sustainable on this planet, period. I mean, that, there's no question in my mind about that. So if we're not sustainable, there's finite resources, what's going to happen, you know, on a global or nation scale or, you know, however you want to look at it, is I'm more focused on how can we prevent this? So you'll notice that some parts of my book, I talk about complex fluorescent bulbs, and very un-Rambo-like stuff, passive solar design, and because the bottom line, what makes a crisis is usually energy. It used to be 10,000 BC, it was, okay, where's the mastodon, right? You know, where's the mammoth? We've got to have some food or the stuff's going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
And now calories seem to be oil or whatever, and if we run out of our own supply, we go and we raid someone else. So my thing is that energy, which are calories, which are dollars, it's all the same stuff as far as humanity is concerned, really. If the more self-reliant we can be, the less we have to twitch and groan, you know, when all hell breaks loose.
And of course, this is the psychology, too, issue, but, you know, getting prepped. But the scenario you're talking about is, you know, I always had this idea that, you know, there's going to be one of two ways. It's going to be really fast and really violent. or it's going to be this slow kind of slide into oblivion. You know, Rome kind of slid into oblivion. You know, these things don't take, you know, it takes a while for a great empire to slide away. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, one day the Roman Empire put out an edict that says mail's going to be delivered every other Saturday. This is the kind of thing I perceive, you know, we're watching, unless, you know, something really nuts happens. And there's always that possibility of a violent earth change, or, you know, somebody decides to start a nuclear war, or if, you know, the economy crashes and burns overnight, which could happen, by the way.
I mean, we're already in reality, I think we're already sliding down the hill. I mean, and whether I'm just amazed at all this stuff, because I'm a news freak, you know, and I watch it for pretty much one reason, and that's to keep my finger on the world's pulse about what's happening out there. Even though I live in the middle of nowhere underground, I still have this thing called a radio, you know, and I use it, and the internet, etc.
Well, you got a phone.
I got a phone. I got a cell phone, you bet. So I'm trying to keep tabs, and there's already I'm amazed at what they're doing with the stock market and propping this up and propping that up and whatever, and it's just, it's unsustainable is the bottom line. So my whole thing with this book is, okay, here's how you're going to die. Okay, here's what you need, and if you want to know what you need, then when Rick goes home, then pull the breaker on your house and sit there for 2 days and find out what makes you hurt the most.
Well, that's a good way to do it, isn't it? Yeah.
It's very direct, and it gets you thinking about, wow, this sucks, and this sucks, so let me try to improvise these things that suck. When I'm on the grid, people don't think about it. They're complacent. They're comfortable. Everything's subsidized, so there's no real accountability for what we're using and what we need, not want, but what we need. And I encourage people just, you know, literally find out what hurts now when you can control the breaker as opposed to someone else.
Well, of course, as I say, you know, now if you're a news junkie, that means also you're a history buff. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I had a great professor that said the only difference between news and history is 3 days, so.
That's good, yeah. Well, you brought up Rome, and okay, it's not any secret that a lot of major civilizations have bit the big one, you know, and why was that? Around here in the Southwest, it's like, what happened to Chaco Canyon? Where did all these people go? Then the cannibalism thing came in, and yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's the effect. You know, I'm more interested in the cause. I don't, you know, who gives a damn if it's a tornado or a tsunami or whatever? The effect is kind of irrelevant when people keep overlooking the cause. And the cause, in my mind, is a complete lack of self-reliance, especially by the United States of America. And I think again, we've been dumbed down culturally over the last few generations, where other countries, because they have to be, are much more hip, you know, to doing more with less, frankly, because they have to. And that's going to change, too, you know, with China and India. So it's all very interesting.
All right, when we come back, we'll go bit by bit through your book here. And I love the titles you've got here. This one is going all hell, but I love the one called The Art of Keeping Your Ass Alive. That's a hell of a name. I love that. 303-713-8585, the number. Cody Lundeen is with us. And he's written a book on how to survive when things just fall apart, even if it's not on a world scale. Let's just say that, you know, a big giant storm just paralyzes you for like 3 or 4 days. 3 or 4 days, be surprised when 3 or 4 days roll around. You know, I can't get a phone call, I can't get a glass of water, and my toilet ain't working. What do I do now? Ooh, yeah. Well, stick around. We'll continue. 125-303-713-8585, the number. I'm Rick Barber. You're listening to News Radio 850 KOA.
Falling, yes, I'm falling, and she keeps calling me back again. I've just seen her face, I can't forget the time or place where we just met. She's just a girl for me, and I want all the world to see we've met. I've just seen a face, I can't forget the time or place where we just met. She's just a girl for me, and I want all the world to see we've met. Mm-hmm. Had
it been another day, I might have looked the other way and I'd have never been aware. But as it is, I'll dream of her tonight.
Falling, 29 minutes yes, falling, after 1 o'clock in the morning. Beattle's doing it tonight. 33 degrees, that's officially, that's over by the airport. Downtown is considerably warmer than that. Later on today, if you liked yesterday, you're going to love today. Today's even going to be warmer. Yesterday was nice. Today's going to be like mid-upper 60s. So enjoy your day. Enjoy your day. Friday, the same thing. And Saturday, we got changes in the weather coming over the weekend. A little bit of rain. Just rain, which is a good thing. But right now in the downtown, it's 40 degrees. It's 42 degrees in Boulder. We're talking again with my guest, Cody Lundeen, his book, When All Hell Breaks Loose. You run a an Aboriginal Living Skills School in Arizona, is that right?
Yeah. What I do in that is I teach people modern survival skills, like what if Rick's out with his girlfriend, the Jeep breaks down in the mountains, all the way to primitive living skills, catching fish with your hands, making fire with sticks, into urban preparedness, and maybe even some homesteading skills. So what I specialize in is self-reliance across the board, and those are just some aspects of that basket of self-reliance.
What part of your book, and I think this is interesting, because if you take a look at it, the first thing you try to do is to get people to understand the problem, and the problem is often themselves, and that fear is a large part of it. And then what you call the ant and the grasshopper kind of thing, where you know the ant is telling you the big story about how all hell's going to break loose, and I know where I'm going to be, ha-ha. And you're thinking, yeah, in my stew pot. Interesting way of putting it. the point is you've got to get your mind right, as the line went in the movie.
Yeah, survival is 90% psychology, Rick, in a big way. And it doesn't matter what Rick Barber has in his backyard or in the garage, if he's too scared, stupid to use it, it's irrelevant, you know, because the human body is what we're trying to keep alive. And a lot of even survival instructors omit that and don't do a whole lot of study, probably because they don't have a lot of knowledge in basic human physiology and psychology and how they play back and forth. And fear is case in point, fear and panic. You know, you've seen people that are just catatonic. You know, their reaction to fear is shock. You know, and they just, the person that just stands there or the person that faints, you know, non-adaptation to pressure. So all these things need to be taken into account. It's not just having, you know, the goodies on the shelf, so to speak. If the psychological person, which is the cake of survival, is unfit for the frosting, the frosting's pretty irrelevant.
Well, you know, we've seen what fear can do. We're witnessing it for the last 5 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it turned a nation into a bunch of morons.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is extraordinary. You know, I would have thought that of all the people on the planet, the toughest people would have been us. I was wrong. You know, we were easily cowed into doing stupid things, and this makes me think that God help us if things got really bad.
Well, you're singing my song. I mean, that's the reason I wrote this book. I was asked by my publisher after the success of 98.6 Degrees, The Art of Keeping Your Ass Alive, hey man, we want you to do an urban survival book. And they wanted to help me write it, quote unquote. You know, warning lights going off, you know, because they're interested in profit, of course, because they're a publisher.
Yeah.
I said, forget it. You know, I'm not, you know, no, because my name's on the product. And then I got so disgusted with what was happening in this country to my fellow people and around the world in general that I said, I can do better. You know, and that's really the impetus for writing this entire book, is to get Americans back grounded, you know, that there's more than duct tape and plastic sheeting to life, and giving them some practical stuff that works, that your grandfather and my grandfather knew with a few modern goodies. I'm tired of the BS. You know, I think we're all tired of it. And the way to empower the people is to empower the people. You know, that's what should be, you know, it's irrelevant to have a bunch of disaster mitigation with a hierarchical organization structure where the people remain stupid to what's going on. And, yeah, let's just, you know, herd them into the Astrodome. And there's other radio interviews I've done dozens since this book came out about people that have, you know, gone in with cameras and whatever, and FEMA had training in the Homeland Security and kind of their whole situation was to round people up and put them in an area like the Katrina thing and quote-unquote take care of them. To take care of the people, you empower the people. That's pretty basic. And so that's what I'm hoping this book will do, where people can be a lot less fearful about current events or future events or whatever.
Yeah, one of the things, again, besides getting your mind right, then you have to understand the problem. By understanding the problem, though, and I like your idea about, you know, just unplug everything to see how many days it takes before it gets become a real issue, you know. And I would think that would be water, electricity, communications, all of the things that that would really be affected in any given disaster. I was watching a movie earlier today about what was called the Great Los Angeles Earthquake, and one of the things that they concern themselves with is the breakdown of lifelines, you know, water, power. Gas lines, electricity, communication systems. When they break down, everything breaks down.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. And that's the beauty and the horror of where we are right now in this modern society, where everything literally is, there's a domino effect. It's supply and demand. Boom, 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 quick. The storehouses don't necessarily have to have a whole bunch of product because we're just making stuff as quickly as we need it so we don't have to sacrifice that storage space, and I mean that literally and metaphorically. I'm standing in a trailer right now that's about 42 degrees. I'm in shorts. I'm barefoot. And I was actually doing squats in place during your commercials to get my core body temperature up. So the first thing in Denverland in here right now, if you're pulled off the grid, is guess what happens to the interior temperature of your house? So thermoregulation. That's why I wrote that first book, 98.6 degrees, which is the approximate normal core body temp, and people totally miss that one. And up to one-third of our entire energy budget in America is spent to room temperature, and we've become so complacent that people, oh, I got my food, and I've got my ammo, and I've got my gas mask, and whatever, but we're freezing our ass off in our house,
yeah.
And we'll be dead of hypothermia before the week's over anyway. So it's a real... It's amazing how far we've gone about forgetting the basic stuff that keeps us alive and free in this country, and I'm trying to change that.
All right, so let's assume we identify the problems, and the problems, you make a list of things that are important or critical.
Yeah, thermoregulation, okay, the core body temperature, which I just talked about, water's right up there with thermoregulation. Of course, even before we might want to eat, we're going to take a dump. You know, where do I put my poop now? You know, I was just literally 2 days ago I was in Manhattan, you know, walking barefoot in Times Square in New York City thinking, man, what's going to happen to this place if something breaks? You know, what do you do on the 82nd floor with your poop? And that's outlined in the book. Then there's going to be the food factor, then basic hygiene. And then, of course, we need alternative lighting and communications and transportation. The hierarchy will come to you, okay? What's going to hurt the most will come to you, and it'll be plainly evident. And there is no set standard for that. You know, it could be communications, which I would say is secondary, that might literally save your life in the first hour or so of the disaster. So it's good to be savvy with all these different concepts and not get locked into this survival BS about you got to do this and you got to do this. Bullshit. You do whatever you need to do to save your life, and you need to be as fluid as possible and not fixed and rigid either in your mind or literally in your body, and be able to roll with it, you know, because adaptation is huge in any sort of crisis situation.
All right, and again, we're talking in the urban setting because, as we mentioned early on, most of us are going to be in such a place. Of course,
yeah.
The ones I feel sorry for, you know, believe it or not, being in a city actually tends to give you a little big, better advantage than living in a suburb.
Why do you think that?
Well, first of all, to get around a suburb, most of the sources for anything that look like heat, water, food, etc., are at malls. Shopping malls, okay? Supermarkets, they're going to be wiped out in a heartbeat. Then what? To get anywhere. You have to drive. Well, there won't be any fuel. You'll have to walk. And the walking distances in the suburbs are extraordinary. In the city, I grew up in New York.
Oh.
You go outside, you're there. Everything you want is there. And although you may have problems getting things in a situation where the supply lines fail, you know, cities tend to be able to get around those issues because they're close in, but not in a suburb. I always feel sorry for the people who live in the burbs. Are you from a, you're from North Dakota, right?
No, my parents were from South Dakota.
South Dakota, okay, I'm sorry. One Dakota looks like another Dakota to me, but I know South Dakota is vastly different than North Dakota, and I apologize. If you live in a suburban setting, especially a suburb of a large metro, you know, where you're like 30 miles away from the city's center, but you're also 10 miles from the nearest mall, which is where everybody goes anymore, you know, in a suburb. That's how they survive.
Yeah.
And they can't get anywhere unless they drive to it.
Yeah, transportation is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
That's why a city actually does present some better options for transportation, even in New York. I take it you don't like New York City.
I loved New York City. It was awesome. Well, I had a great time there.
Yeah. Hold on. We're going to take a break. Cody Lundeen. So where do we go from here? Well, there's a question. The name of the book is When All Hell Breaks Loose. We continue on News Radio 850 KOA. My favorite tunes. 303-713-8585, the number. The Beatles doing the honors. We continue back again with my guest. We're talking with Cody Lundeen. His book is called When All Hell Breaks Loose. All right, so where do we begin? Let's say that there is a, an earthquake, although here that wouldn't be an issue. But let's say maybe a massive, like they had in Atlanta, a big tornado hit downtown Atlanta the other day. Flooding in St. Louis. There's more flooding right now in Missouri. These things happen. So what do you do? I'm not going to talk about the end of the world. Let's just talk about the end of your weekend. Let's say 3 or 4 days, you're screwed. Now what?
Well, yeah, the first thing, I guess, is to try to avoid the punch, right? I mean, and it's kind of a wild card, you know, if it's an earthquake or... A lot of people are hot and heavy on bug-out kits, and I cover them, too. And what that means is, okay, I've got all this stuff in a knapsack, and I'm going to get the hell out of Dodge. But where are you going to the radio station that interviewed me in Oklahoma with the ice storm? You know, where are you going with the blizzard? Are you going to outrun the tornado? Forget it. Earthquakes give no warning. So a lot of the time, you're going to be wherever, the office, the car, your home, and something happens, like you said. Again, the first thing, it depends. There's so many variables. And that's why it's good to be fluid and adaptable. But what's going to happen when the grid goes is the electrical power, forget it. So, again, that heating, where's my water coming from? You know, is it too hot outside? Is it too cold outside? Again, where am I going to go to the bathroom? This doesn't need to be complex. This is very simplistic stuff. It's complex because we haven't had to do it in a generation or two. So, again, I just said the same damn thing I said to you a few minutes ago, but that's pretty much where it's at. If you want to get, we can talk about specifics in each of those genres, but really human needs are very, very basic. Well, we've complicated things.
Yeah, well, like food, shelter, heat.
Yeah, let's take food, for instance. You know, there's all sorts of companies out there, and really for the average American, one of the easiest things to do is just buy some canned goods. Canned goods keep around an average of 2 years. They come with a date of expiration stamped on the can. If not, you can write it on with a magic marker. And they're fairly easy to open if you get the right stuff. There's no cooking required. You open the can. In the book, I show you how to open it on a brick wall or with a rock. And I don't mean just throwing the can and having stuff splat out. And there you are with a stick, and you're having food. I wouldn't want a bug-out pack filled with canned food because of the weight. But again, it depends on the case scenario. So, you know, alternative lighting, get a damn flashlight, buy some extra batteries, rotate them every year. If you have kids and you have candles, that's a bad combination, you know, because one thing, Rick, which is going to be unfortunate, is people have been so dumbed down with fire. You know, even in the woods, they don't encourage you to make fire, and because there's a lot of boob heads that do it and burn down forests.
Yeah.
I understand that. But imagine Grandpa bringing the barbecue grill in to heat the house, and everyone's dead of carbon monoxide. Or imagine trying to cook the beanie weenies with a busted up kitchen table in the backyard, and all of a sudden you torch the neighborhood. Because we become so complacent and we don't have these skills anymore, just going into emergency mode with people that aren't trained in something as simple as lighting and maintaining the fire, simple with training, by the way, could entire neighborhoods, entire towns, I fully expect entire towns to be burned to the ground because the emergency systems are tapped, the communications are gone, and there's a bunch of idiots with big lighters out there trying to do whatever they do.
Huh.
You know? So it's you know what I mean? So it's all these things that need to be prepared for mentally, physically, and otherwise. But then so what if we don't really know how this stuff works or your neighbor's a boob, you know? And it's very complex, very potentially scary. And yet if we were all more on the same page like we are with the McGruff crime dog block watch type thing, it could almost be not a celebration, but, you know, at least we're all on the same page. And there's that confidence that comes when a neighborhood is prepared to deal or mitigate a disaster that only comes with training. Period. That's the way you get there. You know, you don't become a radio announcer. You know, Rick Barber, you didn't just fall into this job. You had this job, and all of a sudden you've got this bigger job because you worked for it. It's the same way with anything.
All right, let's go to the telephone, and let's see. We have Kendall here in a second. And on line number one on a cell phone, is it Kendall?
Hello, Rick?
Yeah, Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on with Cody Lundeen. Good morning.
Yeah, it isn't much of a stretch to see how food's going to start being a problem here pretty soon. I was listening to CNN, and I seen for the first time in the history of this country we started importing wheat last month. And the stock cow numbers are way down. You know, with this ethanol thing, you know, they can't afford to feed the cows.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't take much stretch of the imagination. You know, pretty soon, you know, they sell off the stock cows. It takes a lifetime to build up a herd of cattle, and you know, once the cows are gone, they're gone. You know, if, you know, like I was talking to a friend of mine who raises hogs, and he said he was losing $35 a hog on every hog he was selling for market, and kind of the corn price was so high that, you know, he's done raising hogs. You know, it doesn't take much of imagination to see how food's going to be a problem here pretty soon.
Yeah, any comment there, Cody?
Yeah, on NPR just had a thing, rice has doubled because of a seasonality in Asia and storms and whatnot. I think it's just, you know, my grandparents, and I grew up around root cellars and gardens. You know, this wasn't some hyper-paranoid type of thing. This was something called common sense. And when I can still go to a discount store and buy a 50-pound bag of rice for $20, there's zero excuse not to have some sort of emergency stash for your family, whether it's canned goods, dry goods, dehydrated MREs, whatever it is. But I agree with you that food is not a priority and that might come to bite us. We could also talk about seed viability. You know, I mean, frankly, all the seeds are being hybridized out to where if something happened, it could devastate an entire harvest all over the nation because there's less resistance to the seeds. But just have some food on hand. I mean, that's, again, what more common sense do we need to talk about than having extra food? And it's amazing how many people don't have that. You know, I'm a college student.
Yeah, I guess I'm lucky. My aunt and my sister-in-law, they still got the industrial-sized garden, and they can. It's amazing how few people actually know how to can anything anymore.
You bet. And that's being a lot. My grandmothers both can. And so, yeah, you have a really good advantage there, and you're going to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to do much good if people start getting hungry. All the stuff she's got ain't going to last very long, so.
Well, you know, and you mean other people, not your family.
Yeah.
Are you of a mind, people say, well, I'm prepared, I got my gun?
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I figured that'd be kind of impractical anyhow. I mean, how many, you know, people start getting hungry, what are you going to do? You're going to feed them, right?
How about that, Cody?
Well, yeah, how about that?
I mean,
how many people can you feed? I mean, it's my whole thing is there's a certain tough love thing. You know, if people aren't willing, it's one thing to help someone who's had a spat of bad luck or whatever. But like I said in my book, you know, there's a bunch of friends of mine that, you know, they're going to find out the hard way. You know, I wrote the book, damn it. Read the book, do it yourself. It's called Personal Responsibility. I'm all for helping people. I'm not saying don't help people. I'm just saying that you know that personality, that they're there at the bar spending their money. People always do and act upon what they think is the most important aspect of living their life. And if it's not putting some basic preparation down, I don't have much sympathy for them.
All right, Ken, what do you think of that? Okay, well, thanks for calling. All right, and we're going to take a quick break here. Hold on, Cody, one more break, and we'll take it up toward the top and tell people how they can get a hold of your book. I like the book, by the way. The artwork's extraordinary.
Yeah, Russ is a great illustrator.
Yeah, yeah. For those who wonder who Russ is, that's Russ Miller.
Yeah, Russ Miller.
Yeah, right. Russ Miller, oddly enough, he also writes editorial newspapers and news and also does Miller's Musing, and he lives in Chino. Chino Valley. Okay.
He was my old art instructor in college, believe it or not.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
The name of the book is called When All Hell Breaks Loose, Stuff You Need to Survive When Disaster Strikes, An Urban Survival Guide. 303-713-8585. The number, I'm Rick Barber. You're listening to News Radio 850 KOA. Right, let me remind everybody out there, for those of you who are wondering, today's the first day of spring, in case you forgot, so what do? Well, you know, a couple of things you want to do. I don't mean just spring cleaning by, well, I'm going to clean all those clothes up and I'm going to give it to the Ark or the Goodwill. Well, that's a good idea, but that's not everything you might be thinking about doing. So, well, you know, I think I'll, you know, lose some weight and get a tan. Nice, nice, nice. How's your car? Oh, well, my car. Yeah, I mean, the price of gasoline, they figure by the end of May it's going to be close to four, if not more, dollars a gallon. Are you ready for that? Nah, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, well, when they said they'll never go to $3 a gallon, so I guess $5 a gallon must be out of the question, huh? Is your car ready? I mean, does it get good mileage? Such as it is. Unless you buy a smart car or something really small, which could happen soon enough for all. You know, why don't you just get it tuned up? You'd be surprised what a good tune-up can do for gas mileage. I mean, the carbon cleaning, mention the KOA special of the carbon cleaning system, where they just clean the carbon right out of the whole, the entire burn chamber, right on down to the exhaust system. You can get, like, an increase in 15% efficiency. That includes not just speed, but also in burn. In other words, you burn 15% less fuel. You get a better burn. That's not a bad thing. And, you know, just the regular tune-up anyway, because it's springtime. It's time to do it. TH Automotive can do all that. They're up there in North Glen. They're open Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 6. They've got a phone number at TH Automotive. Tim Hopp. Tim the Car Guy Hopp. And he was with us last Monday, of course, and every other Monday, Tim is with us. You can give him a call and give him up there at their shop up in North Glen, 303-255-8487. That's 255-8487. Give him a call, or you can go to their website at thauto.com, find out everything you need to know. Make an appointment. Give him a call. Check with him. Get your car up in tune for the spring. Today's the first day of spring. Happy spring. Get your car happy. And not only that, burn less fuel. You'd be surprised. It ain't a bad idea. Well, it's a good idea just to have it running right anyway. You want to be sure. So give him a call at TH Automotive. 157. I love this tune.
Ooh, I love.
Anyway, well, we have to get right back to our guest. And again, we're talking with Cody Lundeen. The book is When All Hell Breaks Loose. The other thing about that needs to be paid attention to, and you mentioned early on, is water. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'll have to go buy bottled water. What do you suggest?
I suggest, again, it depends on where you are. I mean, I have a 3,000-gallon tank for water, but I'm in Arizona. The bottled water, I would suggest people get maybe just a 55-gallon drum in the garage, or, you know, there's a bunch of companies that sell those. People are going to go through water like crazy. If you have a swimming pool, you know how to disinfect it, know the stuff that's in there that might be really bad, like maybe in a hot tub where it might just be not potable, whatever. But picture at least 2 to 3 gallons per person per day, and that's a hell of a lot of water, and it weighs 8.3 pounds a gallon. So it's these flimsy little grocery store things of just, come on, you know, you're going to need some real water, especially in my country, and that should be prepared for well in advance.
I've been thinking about this, and my girlfriend says, what do? Go out and buy bottled water. I says, no, we buy milk in those gallon jugs, clean out the gallon jug completely, and then fill it up with water and store it.
Yeah, the milk jugs kind of suck for water storage for long term.
Yeah, but short term, you know, they evaporate like crazy, I know. Yeah.
It's better than nothing, but eventually just get some 5 or 7 gallon jerry cans from an outdoor store, and those will do you pretty well.
All right, very good indeed, and... Of course, that includes also for gasoline or kerosene, if you have that kind of thing. The book is available as we speak on the bookshelves, is it?
It is, Barnes & Noble, Bookman's, Amazon, wherever. I have a real publisher, so it's out there everywhere.
Very good indeed. It's called When All Hell Breaks Loose, and its author is our guest, Cody Lundin. Cody, thanks so much. Good luck with your work, pal. Are we going to see you on TV soon?
Maybe. We'll see what happens, but I really appreciate your time and trying to get the word out there for people to be a little bit more prepared.
Well, I hope perhaps maybe they pay attention, but we'll see about that. And by the way, for those of you who want to have a good handbook to have handy, this is it. Cody, good luck.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
News is coming up on News Radio 850 KOA.